In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Once in a while, I'm able to catch a little bit of the Ellen DeGeneres show on TV. And if you've seen it, you'll know that one of the best things about this show is their giveaways to amazing people for good causes. They find someone who's been doing extraordinary things with little or no resources, and they give them the resources to do much more. On one of my favorite shows, Ellen honored a 24-year-old teacher who lived and taught in our state in one of the poorest schools in our country, in Miami-Dade County. This young woman was a part of the Teach for America campaign. So as a part of that, she'd pledged to work for 2 years in this poverty-stricken area. But she fell in love with the children. And after her 2 years, she stayed on. On the show, the teacher told Ellen the story. One morning, she was working with a 6-year-old young girl who was behaving badly in class. So she took the young girl aside to talk to her. "I'm so sorry, miss," she said. "I just can't concentrate. I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten anything since yesterday." Unfortunately, this story could be repeated by teachers all over our country. In the United States, about 22% of children, over one-fifth of our children, are living below the poverty level. And for many of these children, the only meals that they can count on for sure are the ones that they get in school. Our county, Hillsborough County, is no exception. About 1 in 5 of children in this county live below the poverty level. 26% of children under the age of 5 live under the poverty level in this county. So about 1 in 4 to 5 of the children in this county live in homes where regular meals are not guaranteed, and often they will go to bed hungry. In today's gospel, Jesus lifts up a young child to make a point to teach his disciples. If you remember last week, the disciples are having a lot of trouble with Jesus' hard teaching. They're not ready to accept his teaching about his death and resurrection. But instead of telling him they don't understand or asking him questions, they deal with their confusion and denial by completely changing the subject. Don't we often do that as human beings? Something we don't want to deal with, it's too painful, we maybe turn and try to control something else. So on this particular day, they're arguing about something that makes a lot of sense in normal human scheme of things, and no sense at all in the kingdom of God. Jesus had just told them that he is about to suffer and die and be raised, and they are arguing about which one of them is the best disciple. Now, this is normal human nature, to want to compare ourselves with others. All of us do it, to see who's the best at any particular task or challenge. But it's completely out of place in the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach them. They are completely missing his point. They are going about things the wrong way. Now, even more so than in our time, in Jesus' day, children had absolutely no power, no voice, no rights, no social status. And so after the disciples are caught, really, red-handed, arguing among themselves as to which one of them is really the best disciple, which one has the most status, which one of them is the most important, Jesus turns their conversation upside down. Whoever wants to be first, he says, must be last of all and servant of all. This theme runs through Jesus' teaching. We hear it over and over in the Gospels. We heard it last week. Let go of the usual human way of thinking. The first will be last, and the last will be first. If you hold on to your life with clenched fists, you will lose it, Jesus tells us. But if you let go of you and let God's love flow through you, you will find your true life. Jesus' teaching is so revolutionary, so world-changing, as much now, maybe more now, than it was then. To even begin to live it out requires daily spiritual practice, daily prayers, daily letting go of self, daily surrender, daily opening to God's love, daily service to others. The disciples are confused, unable to understand or accept Jesus' teaching about his suffering and death. They avoid it by going back to business as usual, a competition. Hey, which one of us is really the best disciple? What would Jesus say? And then Jesus picked up a little child who had no voice, no social status, no power. He took the child in his arms, and he told them that whoever welcomes a child in his name is welcoming Jesus himself. When we welcome a child, when we help create conditions in the world that welcome children, when we feed a child, when we buy a backpack for a child, we are doing God's work. We have made a good beginning with ministry to and with children at St. Catherine's. We welcome children into our life and ministry. We teach and learn with them in Sunday school. We worship with them here and in Children's Chapel. We give to the food pantry, which feeds many children in our community as well as adults. We have partnered with Temple Terrace Elementary to help with their backpack program so that more children can receive food for the weekend, so that on Friday they can take home a backpack full of food so that they can eat even if the shelves at home are bare. We have made a good beginning, and there is so much more that needs to be done. There are many ways that we can advocate for children who have no voice. What would Jesus say? Whoever welcomes a child in Jesus' name welcomes Jesus himself. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all.